All right. Well, here we are. As I mentioned at the very beginning of the service, we've got a lot of things going on. Please pardon our dust, because we are in the process of moving some storage things around and getting ready to receive a new congregation, a new partner with us that's going to be upstairs meeting on Sundays. They will be there throughout the week as well. They'll be doing various activities. We've been told that they intend to have a pastor on site here during the week in one of the offices upstairs. So we'll see how that works out, and hopefully we'll be able to bond with them and grow as one church in Jesus' name. And they will be occupying this Friday. So today's a last day where we have a lot of extra hands here to help with the last part of cleaning up and moving some things from upstairs downstairs. So if you have some time after church today and an able body, we can use whatever extra hands we can to move some things. I know, Michael, you got one big thing up there that's got to get moved, and that organ is not light. So it's got to come down. So please volunteer your time for that. So that'll be right after church for as long as it takes to get it all done. Now, in light of that, and I love it when God already preaches my sermon before we even get to the sermon, because some of the songs we did today and Michael's dissertation as we were praying today really touches on what I would like to bring to your attention today. Because those of us who were here working throughout this past week realize that the flesh is weak. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And we need the strength of the Lord to be able to help us through these times. The physical exertion that we have to do to carry all that stuff down. And there was a bunch of stuff upstairs that we had to get out. But the Lord is there when we turn to Him. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus gives His disciples instructions on how to pray. He provided, in fact, a model prayer. And I would like us to stand and pray this prayer together, because this is really the crux of what we are going to talk about today. You all know this prayer from Matthew 6, starting at verse 9. And in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I know that you've all prayed that prayer before, but have you ever really thought about what the words are that you are saying when we pray that prayer? Why did Jesus pick those particular words? Why did He have that sequence in this prayer? And so I'm going to take a second just to pick that apart a little bit, pull those threads a little bit. Each one of those sentences that we just prayed could be a sermon of its own. We don't have time to go into all of that today, so we're going to focus in on a portion of it, but let me cover the rest of it just in summary. The first couple of phrases clearly define to whom we are praying. Our Father. It nails down the focal point of our prayers. We are praying to Father God. Clearly, we are praying to the Lord God, the Creator, the Maker of the universe. It includes praises to God. It says, Hallowed be thy name. As Michael said earlier, God inhabits the praises of His people. So we should always include praise when we talk to Him. And the word hallowed, what does that mean? It means holy. But it's more than just holy. It means set apart for a very sacred purpose. So it's not just holy, but holy, sanctified, set apart. This is only what it's for. The name of God is holy and set apart for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of us communing with Him. That's why we don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. That's why God included in the Ten Commandments, don't do that. Because he knows that his name is hallowed. His name is holy. His name is set apart. We just did a whole thing here, a prayer time. The name of Jesus is hallowed. It's sanctified. It's holy. It is set apart for a specific purpose. When we call on the name of God, when we call on the name of Jesus, he acts. He reacts to it. And we need to be very careful how we use that name. It's not to be used lightly, as we see so much in the media. Then the prayer includes a commitment to his will over our own. This acknowledges that he is God and we're not. We are coming to him with a proper, humble attitude. Lord, we are coming to set your will over our own. So, all that is a prelude. All that is said, all that is done before we get to the petitions that we bring to God. And sure, it says, all right, Lord, we have needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give us this day our daily Cadillac. This is just what we need, Lord God, not what we'd want. God knows what we need. And he provides for our needs. Every time. 100%. He will provide for your needs. But you notice that those are lower in priority than calling out his name and sanctifying his name and praising him. Those come first before we go to our needs. But it's the last clause of this that I really want to focus on today. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The power of God. We spoke about what a powerful name Jesus is. So today I want to spend some time talking about the power of God and the power of Jesus. What does it mean? How do we get impacted by that? How do we tap into that? And what do we do with it when we do that? As I said, each one of these parts of this prayer, this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, could be a sermon all of its own. Maybe we'll do that in the future. We'll see. But today, we're going to focus in on that one part about the power of God. The awesome power of God is evident throughout the Bible and in all of creation. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 51, verse 15 says, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. Similarly, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 62, it said, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. The power belongs to God. In 2 Corinthians 13, a similar word, now in the New Testament. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. The power of God, not by our own self. Back to the prophet Jeremiah. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, that's obviously a rhetorical question because there's not anything that's too hard for him. He created the entire universe by the speaking of a word. Let there be light. It's interesting, the first thing he created was light, because what was there before? Darkness. And so creating light first blasted that darkness into nothing. And from that, everything else came. Everything else that he created came from that. I've told you before about a book that's really a good one if you want to get into the scientific aspect of creation. It's called Genesis and the Big Bang. Gerald Schroeder's the guy who wrote it. He's a Orthodox Jew, as not a believer, but he went to the Jewish scriptures and looked at what was created scientifically, lines it up line by line by line, phrase by phrase by phrase, in sequence in the book of Genesis in the original Hebrew words, and it all matches perfectly. Yes?
Do you know
what the word universe means?
What the word universe means? The word universe.
Tell me.
Verse meaning spoken sentence.
There you go. There you go. Blow your mind. One spoken sentence. Absolutely. That's all it took. So nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. As we get into the New Testament, we learn also that not only does Father God have power, but Son Jesus has power as well. In John chapter 3, verse 35, it says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." So God delegated power to Jesus. God gave power to Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus is God. He said, "I am." And they all fell before him. So he inherited from his Father God. All things were given into his hand. In Luke 8, starting at verse 43, it says, this is a story that's one of our favorites, just indicative of that Jesus had that power in him and was aware of it. This is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind, they were in a crowd walking through the town, and touched the border of his garment. That's the fringe, the tzitzit, that little fringe that hangs on the corner of the prayer robe that the Jewish men wore and still wear today when they're praying. And that tzitzit at the end has some significance, symbolic significance of the laws of God, and they hold on to those when they're praying. But all she did was came up and touched the hem of his garment, touched that tzitzit at the end of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes are here pressing in on you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." He knew that the power that God had given him flowed out. That healing power, and this woman, because of her faith, was healed right there on the spot. After 12 years of physicians trying their best, couldn't do it. And she was healed without Jesus even being aware that she was there. And she touched him. And because of her faith, she was healed. But Jesus knew. In Acts 10, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Even Jesus received the Holy Spirit. That's how the Father anointed him with power. That same Holy Spirit is available today. The same exact Holy Spirit that descended as a dove when Jesus was baptized anoints us today. That same power that Jesus had, that same power of God through the Holy Spirit, is accessible to each one of us. Ephesians 1:22. "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." It's because of this concept that New Covenant has a plurality of eldership. We do not have a head pastor because Christ is the head of all for the church. And we work as his sub-pastors, his co-pastors, but he is the one who leads. That's, there it is. That's why. That is why we have that structure in our governance. For us today, the aspect that we personally can experience in the power of God is what I've already alluded to. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. This was prophesied by the prophet Joel in chapter 2, which, by the way, was quoted by Peter in Acts 2:17 after the upper room experience. And he comes down, and the people on the street, because they were there for this feast of Pentecost, which was one of the three feasts where all the Jews in the world were supposed to come to Jerusalem. And so they would have hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem. And that was when the Holy Spirit was granted to the church for the first time in power. And so they spilled out onto the street from the upper room. Peter gives this amazing sermon, and 5,000 people come into the faith. But Peter tells them, quoting from the book of Joel 2:28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." That's what the Holy Spirit was promised in the Old Testament more than 2,000 years ago and was fulfilled in the upper room with the disciples, and it continues to be fulfilled today to the church who is believing and will receive it. Ezekiel 37, we see another example of this, another miracle that God wrought. Ezekiel chapter 37, "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Symbolic, isn't it? Of the church and the people of Israel who became dry old bones because they didn't accept the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. And those in the church today who haven't accepted him and the power that he provides to us have become dry, dead bones. But God points them out and he says, "They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." We hear that in the world today. We hear people saying, "Look at what the shape the world is in. We don't have any power over that. We can't do anything about it. We just got to live with it, and it's going to impact us no matter what we do." How wrong can you be? How wrong can you be? "Because thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come down, come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, the land of hope, the land of chosen people of God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." That promise is for us today as well. Not just for the prophet of old, who called those bones to rise up and live again, which he did. But the church, we call upon the church to rise up and live again. Live in the newness of spirit. Live in the power of the Spirit. Receive what God gives you. We have the ability to rise up from the graves that the world has stuffed us into. We need to have that influence again of giving life to the world and showing them the light. Let there be light, pierce the darkness. Let there be light in this world where the enemy has rampant influence. Let that darkness be pierced by the light. And that light comes from us because we are allowing God's Spirit to work through us. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." There it is. The power comes when the Holy Spirit comes. And what do you do with it? You take that message out to all of Jerusalem, all of Manassas, all of Prince William County, all of Virginia, all of the United States, all of the world. That's what we want. That's what God is calling us to do. That's what God is empowering us to do by the granting of His Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we read the Bible. Yes, we believe in the Bible, and that is our guidebook. But there is more. The Bible is open to you when you get the spiritual eyes of the Holy Spirit. It becomes real to you. It becomes alive to you. In power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, and you know what kind of men were among you for your sake. The Thessalonians were recipients of the word when Paul came and talked to them. But it was men filled with the Holy Spirit who gave them the truth, who allowed them to get out of the bondage of the paganism that they were in and to see the truth of God's word. We all know the old song, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Bob McCaig's sermon a couple weeks ago talked about the blood of Jesus and the impact of the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross on all of us. It is the blood that washes away our sins. What a powerful cleanser that is. Takes away every stain. It's the power of God unto eternal life. That's another aspect of the power of God and why we can tap into it. Well, how do we do this? How do we access this source of power that God offers to all of us? A few weeks ago, I spoke about staying connected to the grid. And I referred to the gift of faith, and that the faith is the fuel of the kingdom of God. It's that fossil fuel, if you will. Not politically correct. I spoke about building our faith through hearing the word of God. Yes, we hear the word of God. We read it, but we also hear it in our messages on Sundays. I spoke of the Holy Spirit and the gift of faith. That is one of the gifts of the Spirit. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, you get gifts from God in varying measures. Different people get different gifts in different measures, but you also get the fruit of the Spirit that results from that. We're going to talk about that more in just a second. All that applies here as well. So go back and listen. All the sermons are online. You can listen to the sermons. Go onto the webpage and you'll hear audio sermon page. Click on that. And you'll be able to see all of our messages for the last 5 years, basically, up there. If you didn't know we have that up there, it's a library of the messages that we've given over the years. Through all the passages that we were just reading, the scripture passages up there, the power of God, the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, through all of those, we see that there was an intermingling of those three aspects of God. The triune nature of God, the Trinity, is in action all the time. They're not independent of each other. God gives Jesus the power through the Holy Spirit. They're working together as one, as they should, because it's one God. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Not three gods, one God. But it's a God the Father, it's God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but He has one. Don't ask me to explain it. That's way beyond what we can cover in today's lesson, but that's what it's all about. And we see it in action here. We see it in all these passages, that they're all working together in tandem to bring God's will into being. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why. That's the mission that Jesus had, that we have inherited from him because we are his sons. You can't talk about one of these without mentioning the others. That's our three-in-one God in action. Acts 10, verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? Power. Who went about then doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Here's your challenge. If you now are open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, and you allow that Holy Spirit to become active in you and manifest in you in all the ways that God intends for it to be, you also will then have God's authority over these things. We want to pray for someone in addiction. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide your prayers in that. Don't do it on your own strength. Don't do it on your own knowledge. Don't, yes, psychologists are great and doctors are great and all that. Don't ignore them, but don't rely on them. Rely on God through them, maybe, if God chooses that that's how he wants to do it. It's his choice. But let him work. Don't get in his way. Don't stop him. Ephesians 1, same thing. What is the exceeding greatness of his referring to God's, great power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. For far above the principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. He has dominion not only over the old pagan gods, but the new pagan gods that we see in action in our society today. Money, whatever that is, social equity, whatever, talk about whatever it is that is not of God, that is getting in the way of people seeing the truth of the gospel message. Jesus has authority over all of that. We must be faithful to him and be faithful to his word. But with all this, don't forget, it's not our own abilities, it's not our own strength that enables you to do God's will. Even if it's God's will, you still can't do it on your own. Zechariah 4:6. You've heard this before. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts." Similar thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he, this time Jesus, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul is talking about the thorn in his flesh. We don't know for sure what that was. There's a lot of conjecture about it. The point was that there was some flaw in him physically, something that got in his way, and he prayed a lot for God to take it away, but God never did. Instead, Jesus said, "In your weakness, I am strong. Because if you can't do it physically, I can." And he talked to Paul on the road to Damascus and other times, many times, and that's the message that he got. It's not just our strength, by the way, that can trip us up, but our attitudes and our emotions. A real example of that is the problem of pride. We must learn to walk in a spirit of humility. Pride, of course, was the sin of Lucifer. That's why he was cast out from heaven. That was the original big sin that caused Lucifer to fall. And then he turned around and attacked creation through Adam and Eve. But because of pride, it was the pride that started it. That pride is the greatest danger today to many people who are in ministry. Man is very susceptible to this. It's one of the primary tools that Satan uses to bring down a ministry or to bring down a minister, or at least to dilute or distort the message that they are bringing when we try to share it with others. So remember that the same power that created the universe and raised Jesus from the dead is available to you, but that doesn't make you on a par with God. God is still God. And everything that you are able to do is God doing it through you. It's not you doing it to help God. You see, there's a difference there. God has to do it, and he does it through you. It's not us. It's him. It's always him. It always will be him. He was, and he is, and he is to come. We are transient. We're just here for a short time on this earth, and then God's going to take us home someplace, and then we'll get to be with him. And we'll get to come back with him, riding on a horse. My daughter will love that. She's a horse lady. She's looking forward to that, I think. Luke 9. Jesus treated his disciples the same way that the Father treated Jesus. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is when they were sent out two by two. And they came back and they were able to do. I love the way that the Chosen, if you watch the Chosen, you see when they do that. And they get out there and they're just as surprised as anybody else is that some of this stuff works, because they hadn't experienced this before. It was the first time that Jesus had given them a taste of what it would be like in his kingdom today. That we still have that same ability if we exercise it. And so he gave them the ability to go out and heal and to cure demons and to cast out demons and things. And they had never been able to do that before. But it's great. If you haven't seen it, watch those episodes on The Chosen. It's great. Acts 1:8. We said this before. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's part of the Great Commission. It was restated in Matthew, and it was restated in other places in the Gospels. Jesus chartered all of us, his disciples, but that ripple spreads outward. And because of that, it causes other people to believe and other people to get the fire and other people to go out and spread that gospel message. And pretty soon it's the whole world that gets a chance to hear it. And today we have the benefit of wonderful technology that allows us to reach more people, more times, all at the same time than we ever had in history before. Now that's a two-edged sword, because yes, it can be used to spread the gospel message, but yes, it also can be used by the enemy, the powers of the air, to spread their lies and their deceit and their suppression of the gospel message. And that's the battle that's going on right now. That's the battle in the heavenlies brought down to earth, being fought over the airwaves and over the media and over social media and over the radio and over the television. We see it all the time. You see it in politics where, oh, you can't say those things in the workplace because that's religion, and religion is separate from everything else we do. No, it's not. It is integral to what we are. It is integral to who you are. You are a creature of God first. Then you're a worker. Sorry, that was a digression. Philippians 4, though, here's the bottom line. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Now, it says I can do, but that doesn't mean I am the one with the power to do it. I do it through Christ who strengthens me. Strengthens us emotionally, strengthens us spiritually, strengthens us perhaps even physically. We saw that in action this week. A lot of us were just wore out. You know how hot that storeroom is upstairs when it's 95 degrees outside? Stephen, you and I were sweating up there, I'll tell you what. I think I lost about 3 pounds yesterday. I don't know. I didn't weigh myself when I got home, but I felt that way. But it was all fluid. But God strengthens us because we turn to Him. And He allows us. He allows us the ability to do His will. And He gives us the physical and the emotional and the spiritual ability to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to seek that power, to seek the power of the Holy Spirit in everything that you are and everything that you do. Let it be free to work through you. There is a side benefit to it if you do it. I mentioned before, the gifts of the Spirit, okay, that is what comes along with the Spirit. Those are the abilities that are built into that spiritual power that God empowers us with. Prophecy, healing, miracles, things like that. All of those are part of what comes as part of the toolkit that God gives you when the Holy Spirit fills you and allows you to work. But there's a side benefit, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 15:13 tells us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you see the benefits that are coming from that. The fruit of the Spirit are the things that manifest in you because you're allowing the Spirit to work. It changes your attitudes. It changes the way you come across to other people. They see Jesus in you, and that's different than them seeing me in me. I can be an irritation. You can ask my wife sometimes. But if it's Jesus in me, then people are going to pay attention. They're going to say, ooh, whatever he's got, I want that. I'm willing to listen, open my ears a little bit, because whatever he's got, that, and this is from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. Are those attributes that you would like to display to other people? Are those attributes that are going to make you attractive to other people so that they're willing to listen to the gospel message that you're sharing? The answer should be yes. How do you get those? Open yourself to the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what grows from the seed of the Spirit that is planted in you when you become a believer and you say, Lord, you are Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and allow it to work in me. You've now planted the seed, you've fertilized it, you've watered it, and now it's going to grow and it's going to bear fruit. And fruit is fruit because it has seeds in it that will spread what is growing, whatever it is. So think about that. There's a lot of symbolism in that passage because the fruit of the Spirit that's manifest in you now has the ability to plant that seed of the Spirit in somebody else because they're willing to listen, because what you have is something that they miss and they don't have it. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. They don't have gentleness. They don't have any of these features. You see where I'm going with this. So, I want to wrap up here. We all understand God created the universe. He gave us his Son so that we may have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then he says, you will get power when this Holy Spirit comes with you. So we see all aspects of the triune nature of God in action. All of them are available to us. All of them are things that we can allow to be active in your life on a daily basis. Spend time with him. Get into the Word. Read the scriptures that I've been sharing with you today. Live them in your life. And allow God the freedom to work in you. And when you do that, then when you encounter somebody, there's just going to be something about you that they can't resist listening to. That's when you say, you know how that, you know, you think I'm got my act together? No, it's not me. I'm just an old cracked clay pot, but I got a treasure inside. I can share that treasure with you. As it comes through Jesus. Believe on him. You too can have everlasting life. Accept him. Confess before men. Jesus is Lord of your life. And you will have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then it's a matter of practice. That's why we come together on Sundays. To learn. To learn how to exercise those things. Sometimes it happens naturally. The Spirit can come on a person and without him even really knowing what's going on, they can start to manifest it. Happened to my mother-in-law. We spoke to her about it. My wife even baptized her. She was a Polish Catholic lady all her life. Didn't understand what it was all about, but no shit, she saw it in her daughter and wanted it. So we did that. She went back to Cleveland. We got a call a couple weeks later. I don't know what's happening here, but I'm starting to say things that I don't understand what the words are. She got the gift of tongues and didn't know what it was. And so we explained it to her. And from that point on, she was fine with it. She was good with it. And she even prophesied. Yep. Yes, you can teach old dogs new tricks. Yep. That's what she said. You can teach old dogs new tricks. Yes, sir? Hallelujah. Who says that prayer does not have effect? In your face, right? In your face, Satan. All right. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you, the triune God, the three-in-one God, alive and well and involved in our lives today. Lord, I just pray that for each one here, that they would hear these words today, that they would be willing, Lord God, to go out on a limb, an area that perhaps they've never tested themselves, to allow your Spirit to take root in them, Lord God, to bear that fruit. Lord, may they plant those seeds deep today. Water them with the river of life water, Lord, that comes from the throne of grace. And watch those things start to grow, Lord God. For that's the root of the vine, Lord God, that we are all grafted into. So, Lord, I just pray that those who step out into that unknown territory, Lord God, will do so with faith, will do so in confidence, Lord God, that you are with them right now, that you would not let them trip up, you would not let them fall, that you, Lord God, would keep them in the palm of your hand and protect them as you have done for thousands of years with your own chosen people, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for open hearts and open minds to hear and obey. But Lord, we want to set ourselves aside. Less of us, Lord God, and more of you. More of you in everything we are. More of you in everything we do. More of you in everything we say, Lord God. So for all of us, Lord God, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, I just lift up this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.